We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit ElkhornComputer.com, then give us a call. ElkhornComputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
Is Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
One of the things to keep in mind with this Michigan matchup is they did struggle a little bit to slow down Brandon Wimbush for Notre Dame running the ball. The quarterback run game to me is something that Michigan had issues with in week one. I mean, Wimbush didn't light him on fire, but he hurt him a little bit at 59 yards rushing. Didn't have a great yards per carry average, but he was effective. And to me, I think that that is an area that can be huge for Nebraska, obviously preferably with Adrian Martinez. But even with Andrew Bunch, I think Nebraska can make some hay from that spot.
Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, Game Time with Nick Baugh.
Going into the year, I thought, boy, I don't know if Nebraska's going to be able to get after the quarterback. It's arguably the best thing they do. Going into the year, I'd be like, tell you what, the one thing you take the bank is Nebraska's got an abundance of wide receivers that can make plays. Well, it turns out right now they only got like two. The other thing I said, the one thing you take the bank, Nebraska's just going to be chock full of big, explosive chunk plays. I mean, really, outside of the... I mean, he had the long touchdown run, 41-yard touchdown run with Martinez against Colorado. And then he had the... I can't remember exactly how long the Spielman touchdown pass was. That was a dime from Martinez. But, you know, it's like, outside of those two plays, there aren't a ton of explosive chunk big plays. Big plays weren't really there against Troy. And for me, I look at the explosive play, the big play. That needs to be there this weekend.
Only on 1620 The Zone. 1620thezone.com and the 1620 The Zone app.
I feel confident in Nebraska's defense that they're going to go play pretty well this weekend. Now, a part of it is I don't think Michigan's offense is great. I mean, that's their O-line. They're still figuring out blending the spread and the pro style and all that stuff. I mean, so part of it's on Michigan, but part of it is earned on Nebraska's part, too. I've been big-time impressed with what I've seen from that side of the ball. And it's not just relative to where they were last year in 2017. I mean, they had nowhere to go but up. So if it's only based on that, then that's not saying much. I mean, I think this defense plays with an edge right now. They fly around. They play with some physicality. I've seen more big hits in two games than I have in the past 5 years.
You're listening to Game Time with Nick Baugh.
Not the Rockies are a little more rockier than this. John Denver is full of it. All right, second hour on a Thursday. Rocking and rolling our way through it. Backloaded show. That's how we do it on Thursdays. Brian Munson, Danny Woodhead, Kevin Kugler, all in the final 90 minutes of the program. You can get in touch with me in a variety of ways. You can email the Four Points Federal Credit Union Zone Inbox, Nick at 1620thezone.com, or hit me on Twitter at Nick Baugh. But while you're doing that, do not at me here. I'm giving you a warning. I am giving you a warning on something before I get into this take, all right? Getting it. I'm warning you, okay? I am warning you big time. Homer alert. Homer alert. Homer alert. Homer alert, okay? No, see, it's like sunshine in me, okay? I'm going to do something that I used to hate. Like, hate. Hated when people did this.
Picking Nebraska to win a football game?
No, that's not true.
Right?
I used to hate that because I hate Nebraska. But I used to hate it when people would do this. And now I'm going to do it.
Oh, gosh.
I used to hate when people did it with Pelini and with Riley. But I'm going to do it now, all right? Okay. So I saw this and I thought, the reason I want to do this is because I think sometimes it's human nature to have this, like, to think sometimes what you're going through in life, nobody else has ever gone through or is currently going through. We're kind of all guilty of that, right? We're all a little self-centered and self-absorbed that, like, you know, it's like, oh man, no one had a worse day than me today. No one had a worse weekend than me. Or can you believe what happened to me? That's never happened to anyone. And, you know, 99.9% of the time, outside of, you know, Neil Armstrong walking on the moon, if it's happened to you, it's probably happened to someone else, okay? So that's why I bring this up. And what I'm about to say is just hate it. Like skin crawl, like going to throw my chair through a window. But I saw this and I thought it was good to relay, to just keep in mind considering what just happened over the weekend and where things are at. When Nebraska losing to Troy and starting the season 0-2. Again, warning, homer alert, homer alert. I repeat, homer alert. So Scott Frost, 0-2, staring at a potential 4-5, maybe 6-win season down the barrel, right? Food for thought here. Nick Saban was 6-6 his first year at Alabama, lost to Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, gosh.
6-6, lost to Louisiana Monroe. You know what Pete Carroll was first year at USC? He's 6-6. Bob Stoops, 7-5. Even like Penn State's got it rolling a little bit right now, right? I mean, year one, even year 200, James Franklin was kind of like,
no, remember after the Michigan game where they got blasted the year that they won the Big Ten title,
they got
people
rocked.
Were like, is James Franklin going to survive really the rest of the season?
Everybody was, how overrated is James Franklin? Came in with all this bravado and all that stuff. I mean, 7-5, year one, Penn State, okay? Even this year, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, UCLA, they're 0-4. They're 0-3. They've lost to Cincinnati and Fresno State at home. Willie Taggart and Florida State, have you seen them? I'm not so sure that Millard North couldn't go give Florida State a game right now. So my point is, and I warned you, my point is, it happens. Now, again, I used to hate it when people would do this, and I'm certainly not saying, because what I don't like about it, see, my only thing with bringing stuff like this is, what's your point? Because what used to drive me nuts is, I'm certainly not saying that every coach that struggles initially will end up being a success and being Nick Saban. I'm not saying that. That's why it drives me nuts when people are like, it took Dr. Tom 25 years to win a national title. It's like, okay, then what are you really saying? Are you saying that every coach should get 2 decades? You know what I mean? Like sometimes people say things and it's like, well, what do you mean? The reason I'm saying that is because, again, sometimes there is this sense, this self-absorbed, selfish, caught-in-your-own-bubble sense that what you are going through in life, nobody else has ever gone through this or currently is going through that. Florida State is. UCLA is. Like right now. Bama did. Over a decade ago. Like, some coaching changes are rocky initially. They are. But the big thing is to realize that it happened. It's happened before, so it's not like it's like, oh my God, this never happens. Yeah, it does. And then also you have to think about what you inherited. And what, like, the reason why you may listen to this show and the tone is way different than Riley in year one is, well, first of all, I didn't believe in the Riley hire, so there's obviously that to begin with. But then number two is, you have to think about the state at which they took over the programs. That matters. You can kick and scream and all that stuff. But Bo Pelini, I thought he should have been fired too. But the guy was winning 9 games a year. I mean, Mike Riley, 4-8 last year, 2 of the 3 years under 500. And they weren't even close for the final month and a half of last season. Weren't even close. So there you go. I warned you guys, all right? I warned you. I used to hate it when people would do that. But you get my point, right? Like, sometimes there's this idea that no one, what has happened to you has never happened to anyone ever in the history of the world. No program has ever, oh, man. It happened. It happened. Again, sometimes you just gotta breathe. You gotta breathe.
You got to calm down. You got to relax. So there you go. I mean, a little, just a little homerish for me there. Okay. A little homerish. You know, we were talking about this in three and out, and I realize it's still early. But at the same time, when you're sitting on your couch or whatever on Saturdays and you're watching college football, I'm big on this. Trust your eyes. Trust your eyes. Trust your gut. That was my thing with even in the 2016 season when Nebraska, you know, they started 7-0. Trust your eyes. Trust your gut. That a good team? Nope. No, they weren't. Usually your gut and your eyes are going to, they're not going to lie to you. And don't you think 3 weeks into the college football season, there are five teams that have big time separated themselves from everyone else? There are five teams that when you turn on the TV and watch them play, they just look way different than the rest of the college football world. No, Corey, that is not true. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Iowa's not one of those teams. They may have been in my Big Five, but they're not one of the five best teams in the country. Yeah, certainly not Purdue. All right.
Illinois.
Well, hell no on them. But you watch, and it's like, when I watch Bama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma play, those five teams appear to be a cut above the rest of the country. Like at this point, and I get, I mean, again, we're not even to November or to October. We're not even, I'd be stunned if one of those five teams didn't win the national championship. Stunned. Like I think there's a pretty big gap between those five teams and the rest of the country. Let's not say there aren't some other teams that have been good. Like, I think Washington's still pretty good. LSU, you got to give it to a man. Like, hammered Miami. Hammered, you know, they went to Auburn, won. Penn State's got a really good quarterback. But when you take the whole thing into consideration, speed, athlete size, playmakers, all that, and just your gut and your eyes, when those five teams play, I feel like I'm watching a different level, especially Alabama. I think those five teams have separated themselves, but I'm not sure there isn't a pretty big gap between Bama and the other four. Because for the first time to me in the entire Saban era, they have an elite quarterback. I mean, yeah, AJ McCarron's in the pros or Greg McElroy. Like, these guys, those dudes weren't Tua. Have you watched this cat play? And if you watch Bama play, that team is terrifying. I don't think they've ever had an offense this explosive. It is terrifying. Through 3 weeks, Alabama's the best team in the country. Then there's a gap. Then there's those other four teams, and then there's a gap. But I think the five teams in total are just clear-cut notch above the rest of college football. Trust your gut, trust your eyes. Oftentimes, they're probably not going to lie to you. 402-951-1620. All right. The Cougmeister in about 15 minutes. Talk a little Nebraska, Michigan with him. Let's talk a little Big Ten football as well. You can email me, Nick at 1620thezone.com, or hit me on Twitter at Nick Bob. Game time.